This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Trent Barrett becomes the first man to leave the Northern Beaches for Penrith, Dragons have more choke than Mike Kamira, and we preview Pawns Night of Knights. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. You can find me on Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who has volunteered to perform alongside John Farnham in the Drought Relief concert this week, who was also fat-shamed by Dave Taylor on The Footy Show. Tonight, he's wearing a hard hat and a fluoro vest. Welcome, Sid.
Yeah, thank you, former. Thank you. Hello, Australia. That's right, everybody. I got a job. You can never be too careful. That's why I'm wearing my hard hat and vest. Work health and safety is no joke.
Where are you working at, mate? Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Packing shelves at IGA Oatley. Thank you to Nova for finding me a job there. The musicians back to work program.
I'll tell you what, it's been a big couple of days for me. Haven't slept for 48 hours.
Yeah.
How good speed in other news? Oh. Any day. Without further ado, it's time for this.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Vivian Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Big news this week, and the first story comes from metro.co.uk, and it's woman complains about sand on beach being too wet in bizarre TripAdvisor review, Sid. Sandcastle enthusiasts have been warned to avoid a certain beach in Cornwall at all costs. That's because the sand at Perranporth Beach is simply too damp, according to an utterly bizarre review left on TripAdvisor by a person using the login name Mona Groan. The Holly holidaymaker, who apparently doesn't understand how the tide works, left the scathing review after making the trip to Perranporth. She complained that the wet sand makes building sandcastles tough and the beach was far too busy for her liking. And despite all that, she still rated a respectable 3 out of 5. Now, Mona Groan has said, I found the sand to be much too damp, not great for building sandcastles. There are a few car parks, but I think we were just lucky to find a space. TripAdvisor review made its way onto social media where locals had a laugh at its expense. One person wrote, also went to Perranporth once and the sea was wet. If you could sort that out, it would be much appreciated.
Yeah, look, people love to have a whinge and the internet gives them a platform, makes them feel good to have a sulk. Here's a couple of other tourist complaints that I looked up on the net. Here's one. I think it should be explained in the brochure that the local store does not sell proper biscuits like custard creams or ginger nuts. That was from a pommy who got tricked into going to Syria, gave the place 1 star.
Was that say ginger nuts?
Yep.
Meghan Markle might have written that. She loves some ginger nuts, apparently.
Here's another one. The brochure stated no hairdressers at the accommodation. We're trainee hairdressers. Will we be okay staying there? Oh, and my favourite, a tourist at a top African game lodge overlooking a waterhole who spotted a visibly aroused elephant complained that the sight of this rampant beast ruined his honeymoon by making him feel inadequate.
Well, I'm hearing you. And again,
what's our elephant sound?
The pygmy possum would make me feel inadequate anyway. I've been looking through Mona Groan's other reviews on TripAdvisor, Sid.
Yeah.
Now, it seems like she has a bit of form in this department. In 2012, she went to Italy to the city of Pisa, where she wrote, nice place, okay pasta, but tower looks wonky, 2 stars. In 2016, she travelled to Australia. She left a review for Uluru. She said, striking colour and beautiful sunsets, except for when that stupid big rock got in the way. Couldn't see it anymore. 3 stars. But finally, in March 2017, Mona Groan went to Egypt, Sid.
Yep.
And it seems she didn't. She wasn't exactly enamoured by all of the history there with that place. She said, lots of sand, very hot. Seen 5 pyramids, but didn't get the free spins. 1 star.
Full credit to the boys.
Next story comes from themirror.co.uk and it says, sister finds their parents' old love letters from the 60s, but they quickly regret opening it after reading what it says.
This is awkward.
Now, when our loved ones pass away, many of us end up discovering things about them we never knew. We may hear stories about them from old pals or uncover a hidden treasure. And those things can make the heartbreak of mourning a little easier.
Or not.
Stick with me. But a group of sisters got a little bit more than they bargained for when they found some of their mum's old letters and decided to read them. They found a bunch of letters their dad sent her while he was working away in London in the late 60s. The sisters gathered around to read them, but it turns out they weren't the romantic love notes they were hoping for. After my mum died, we found letters tied in a bow from my dad when he worked away in the 60s. My sisters crying and I held hands and we opened one, but the whole thing was about how much he missed cattle prodding mum's oyster ditch with his lap rocket. Now, apparently dad was hornier than a billy goat with two dicks. We already knew that they were in love, but all that seeing their sexual acts in print, that's something that your mum and dad has performed. That's something you don't need to see, and it's a different kettle of fish. We didn't need to read Dad's favourite sex positions. I mean, what is the double kangaroo sloppy pocket or the clogged blowhole or the screaming seagull anyway, Sid? Quite simply, they said, we didn't read the rest.
F-C-T-T-B.
But the biggest news of this week...
This is exciting.
...comes from dailymail.co.uk, and I believe we might be here at this big event.
Yep.
Pornhub Awards, set to be hosted by porn star Asa Akira.
Full credit to the boy's very own Asa Akira.
Now, Pornhub will host its first ever awards show next month, Sid. The Adult Video Streaming Site Awards show, which will take place in Los Angeles, California on September 6, 2018, will honour the biggest and best stars of the industry. The Pornhub Awards will go head-to-head with the Adult Video News Awards.
The AVNs.
Yep, frequently referred to as the Porn Oscars. This year, for the first time, the billions of visits and video views on Pornhub will be tallied and analysed, and the results will be presented on what will go down in history as the best adult entertainment awards ever, Pornhub says.
Analysed or analysed?
I said analysed.
Okay.
The ceremony will be broadcast in 4 360-degree virtual reality live streams. The award show viewers can also experience the ceremony through Pornhub's Oasis virtual reality, a social virtual reality world where users can interact with each other through avatars.
Interesting.
The Pornhub Awards will be hosted by porn star Asa Akira, who said, what an honour it is to be hosting the very first awards. I'm so excited, and this show will be done in typical Pornhub fashion. Box of tissues over in 5 minutes. I had a sneak peek at some of the award categories, and I think it's safe to say this is going to be a very fun event, said Asa Akira. Porn stars such as Mia Malkova, Riley Reid, Pauline Hanson and Lana Rhodes have received nods in a wide range of categories. There's even a Celebrity of the Year category award, which includes Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, Mimi McPherson, the chick from Home and Away, Emma Radzowski, and
she's my favourite,
Cardi B. Even users can win an award as the ceremony has a top comment on Pornhub category. At Pornhub, we live and breathe innovation. It's important we keep people coming back for more, said Corey Price, Vice President of Pornhub. God, I wish I was Vice President of Pornhub. That being said, our first ever awards show, we're not only leveraging towards state-of-the-art technology to allow our 90 million daily visitors to participate, we're also honouring the amazing performers as well as the fans, because it is their dedication and feedback that helps us offer the best adult experience out there. We couldn't be more excited for the awards show, and we hope our millions of fans from every corner of the world will tune in for the big night for 5 minutes.
Yeah, look, do yourself a favour and Google funniest comments on Pornhub. That needs an awards show just for those people commenting. There's a whole community out there just having a wank and getting advice from other wankers.
Overhead shandy, if you don't mind.
Here's a couple of examples. Megacock7 wrote...
That might be me.
Anyone know where I can buy that bed? To which Parachute Man's dick replied... The Duna is from IKEA. I bet the bed might be too. To which Fatcock22 replied, the bed... What's the matter with you? Did you not see that gorgeous nightstand in the back? And here's another one. JuicyCock45 wrote...
George Burgess.
Can someone help me? My nephew's birthday party is next weekend. Oh, this gets me. And my sister asked me to cook for him. I don't know what to cook. Do short people like chicken nuggets or do they like Vienna sausages? He's a dwarf, so I want to make him feel comfortable. No regular size hot dogs or chicken fingers for him. Any help is appreciated.
He's just on the bottom of a porn movie.
Yep. To which LoveHorn78 replied, I'd go with chicken nuggets. It's a safe choice. But since he's a dwarf, I'd get them from McDonald's. I got no idea what any of that means. People watching porn and having a conversation.
Well, I just think it's going to be a great have an awards night that Grant Denyer won't rig and Guy Sebastian won't perform at. Hopefully these awards are better than the AVNs from this year, where Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty, once again...
Didn't they cock this up?
Once again, they fucked it up trying to present an award. We might get something like this otherwise. Have a listen to this from this year's AVNs.
For Best Picture.
You're
impossible.
Come on.
The Sperminator.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you to the Academy. Thank you to Lionsgate. Thank you to our incredible cast and crew. We're all up here right now.
Guys, I'm sorry.
No, there's a mistake.
Prison Lesbians 5.
You guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won. This is not a joke.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke.
Prison Lesbians 5.
It is one Best Picture.
And if that wasn't bad enough, from the same night, bloody Kanye West is at it again.
Up to his old tricks.
He stormed the stage and wrecked someone's big moment. If he does this again, I'll tell you what, there will be a blow up.
Yo, Alexis, Texas. I'm really happy for you, and I'm going to let you finish. Your movie, Finger Licking Girlfriends 3, was a good film. But Angela White's movie, Any Given Cum Day, was all time. Fuck all y'all.
He might be a flog, but he's probably got a point.
Any Given Cum Day was a good flick.
It was a cracking show. NRL Round 22 review, Sydney, began on Thursday night when the Cowboys gave the Broncos the loss they didn't have to have when they won 34 points to 30 at 1300 Losser Stadium. Now, the Cowboys won their sixth game of the year, holding on to a two-point halftime lead to capitalise into a four-point victory, despite an eight-point try to Matt the Gyprock King Lodge. Despite it being the 300th game of Broncos stalwart Sam Tardy, Brisbane couldn't secure a win against the Cowboys and place themselves in danger of not only missing the top four, but an outside chance of actually missing the top eight altogether.
Yeah, well, this is 2 weeks in a row that the Broncos have conceded 30 points, and it could have been the Cowboys up by 20 early if it wasn't for a Jimmy the Jet intercept try. The Cows flew out of the blocks in this one, then the Broncos fought back to go in even at halftime. Now, I think we all agree that no one wants to see Matt Lodge get kicked in the head. So it was a fantastic decision by the refs to penalise Tamare Martin for doing just that.
Not just once, anyway.
And awarding the Broncos an eight-point try early in this game. I think we can also agree that the Broncos never get those 50-50 calls, so that was also good to see.
Yeah, they've been desperately unlucky on occasions.
Haven't they?
In a year of shithouse form, it seems the key to waking up Jonathan Thurston was to get him an almighty smashing of his pills. At the 60th minute mark, he tried to tackle a rampant Sam Tardy, only for Sam's left knee to be firmly planted into the JT Steam Dim Sims, rocking Thurston into a world of pain women will never experience. In fact, Thurston's spunk bunkers were hit so hard they were later found underneath his headgear at full time.
Yeah, it was nasty, but a young fan on the sideline got handed Thurston's headgear and testes after the game. It's a true sportsman's gesture.
I think he signed them too. Kyle Felt racked up some big numbers according to Italian imports at the Full Credit Boys Backyard Stats Lab, Billy Bang Bang and his cheesel-loving brother, Barry Bong Bong. Felt finished with 4 tackles, 125 running metres, 1 line break, 4 tackle busts, but it was his big get-fuck goal from 55 metres out on half-time that will live in the memories of goal-kicking nerds after the Cowboys received a penalty just as the players were heading into the dressing sheds.
Yeah, with 17 minutes to go, the Broncos were up 30-18 and should have put them to bed, but the Cowboys, they finished strongly with Cohen Hess catching a lucky bounce to finish off the Broncos. And as you said, they now have the Bunnies and the Roosters and a real chance of losing their spot in the eight.
Now, Friday, The Warriors made easy work of the Knights, winning 20-4 at Not-So-Smart Stadium. Now, we said last week that the Knights were in dangerous territory right now, Sid, with not much to play for. They can't make the eight, and they won't win the spoon, and it showed in this game as the Warriors completely dominated the Newcastle Boys. The Kiwis rose to sixth on the table after this and celebrated Isaac Luke's 250th game in style. Well, the same can't be said for the Knights, as Mitchell Pearce's 250th will be one he'll be happy to forget.
Yeah, that's two wins on the trot for the Warriors, and they scored some great tries. Their offloads were back in their game, playing like the Warriors of old. When their forwards do the hard yards, it gives their backs a chance to throw the ball around, and that's what they did in a dominant performance against the Knights.
I'll tell you something now. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck had a game.
Didn't he?
That had the guys and girls from the Full Grade the Boys Backyard Stats Lab searching for their high school scientific calculators. He ended the game with 24 runs, 338 running metres, Sid, including 161 kick return metres, 94 post-contact metres, two line breaks, and 11 tackle busts.
He was excellent in this game, and he laid on the Warriors' first try for Adam Blair with a step and a great change of pace to bamboozle the Knights' defence. He had a cracking game.
The 3-1 victory was the Warriors' first at Not-So-Smart Stadium since their 26-4 win over the West Tigers in Round 9, and that was in the first week of May, 14 weeks ago. Oh. The Warriors now have a 50% win record at home with a 5-5 record, and this was the Auckland club's 20th win over the Knights.
They've now got the Dogs, Panthers and Raiders to finish off the year. And after a cracking start to the season, they're still in a position to have a crack at this title. They're smokies for mine. I reckon they'll upset a few teams.
Yeah, I don't think they've got enough to win four games on the trot. The Rabbitohs battled hard before going down to the in-form Roosters at Renovators Delight Stadium, 18-14. In an obvious warm-up for September footy, the two Anzac Parade enemies fought hard in this one before the Roosters found a little extra to beat the Bunnies and steal the number one spot on the ladder. Both teams were down on troops, but it might be the Bunnies who have more improvement left in them. They lost Alex Johnson early and were missing Greg Inglis, plus you can add to that Sam Burgess, who had a shocker, making 5 errors from 20 carries, including dropping it with his side on the attack and with less than 3 minutes to go. Another of the Bunnies' bad boys was halfback Adam Reynolds, who appeared to carry a leg injury and made 5 errors in what was a forgettable performance.
Yeah, look, I think what you said is true. I tipped the Roosters, but Roosters fans will tell you they were without Keary. But the Bunnies were well down on troops, and this was a hard-fought win for the Chooks. Take nothing away from them, but the Bunnies, I agree with you, have a lot of improvement in them. And Bunnies fans I was chatting to on Saturday are not at all concerned about that loss.
Tell you what, aren't Roosters fans hot and cold on Twitter?
Yeah.
When they're going bad, they want everyone sacked. They
yep.
want everyone to get out, kicked out, resigned. I'm handing my membership in. 3 wins on the trot, that's all it takes, and they're going to win the premiership.
Happy days, yeah. They're favourites.
Given the result, you only have to look into the game's stats to realise how impressive the Roosters were, according to Swift Cobra Carl and his equally as threatening brother, Bedsnake Steve, from the Full Credit Boys Backyard Stats Lab. The Roosters only had 42% of the ball, had 50 fewer carries, and made 50 more tackles. Perhaps so, the missed tackles made up for it. South had 36 to the Roosters' 25, and only had 25 tackle breaks to the Roosters' 36.
The Roosters have progressively improved throughout the year from a very slow start. They are looking very good at this stage. I still think they can improve as well. So they are quite rightly favourites for the title. They shut down Cook in this game and were very impressive.
Mm. Now, they've assumed the mantle as premiership favourites and have a relatively simple run home. The Eels, the Broncos and the Raiders look like they'll offer little resistance to the Chookies, who will be cherry ripe once the semi-finals kick off.
I totally agree.
Saturday, and the Titans became the Panthers' latest come-from-behind victims when they lost 17-16 at half-price cocksucking Cowboys at Shooters on Tuesday Stadium for Ladies. Now, last week, the Panthers sacked Peter Griffin for some pretty ordinary performances against lesser opposition, so it was nice to see the players send out a tribute to their former coach by playing exactly the same way under new caretaker coach Cameron Datto. The Panthers were behind 16-6 with less than 6 minutes remaining before the inevitable scoring blitz, which ended in golden point when the man himself has been the spotlight all week, Nathan Cleary, slotted over a field goal by himself without his dad, just him and his teammates.
Mate, I had a cracking tweet ready to go in this game until the Titans lost the unlosable. I was filthy. It's a very strange situation at the Panthers. It's been covered off everywhere during the week. We won't go over old ground. But they played exactly how they have under Griffin. Same come from behind victory even. It will be interesting to see how Gus has them playing the next few weeks. And Cameron Daddo. Sure, Cameron Daddo is the coach. Forgot about that.
The Clayton State of Origin man, Titans captain Ryan James, once again had a great game, according to Spanish cartel imports El Matador Mikey and his clever brother, Electric Rollador Donnie, at the Full Credit Boys Backyard Stats Lab.
Electric Rollador Donnie? I got to meet him.
He's handy, especially when it's raining. Now, James scored the game's first try in the second minute, along with 46 tackles, 115 running metres, a line break, and 3 tackle busts.
Yeah, the last 15 minutes of this game was super exciting, but it masked the fact that this was a low game for the most part.
It really was.
It was. The Panthers may have escaped again, but they were far from convincing.
Yeah, well, they've changed coach, but the same fundamental errors and silly plays are still there. They should account for the Knights this week, although nothing is certain. However, their final two games against the Warriors and the Storm, both away, will test them with a top four spot far from assured.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge still in the chase for a top four and a top eight position.
Now, the Seagulls fended off any chance of their first wooden spoon with a comfortable victory against the Bulldogs, 18-6 at Legoland. In a game that'll go down the annals of history as one of the great games to try and forget, the Bulldogs have no real excuses for losing this one. They were playing against 12 men for 10 minutes after Trent Hodkinson was binned at the 30th minute mark, and they had 40 tackles inside the Seagulls' red zone in the first half, but only score once. The absence of Lachlan Lewis, who was over at Home and Away filming a couple of episodes.
Yabby Creek.
who was forced to, yeah.
He did something.
It might be the only saving grace for the Dogs team, who once again were devoid of attacking ideas.
Yeah, well, if you thought the last game was shit, this one trumped it. Two teams with little to play for at the end of a long and poor season for both clubs, and it showed. Very ordinary first half until Tommy the Tripod Turbo injected himself into the game and got the Eagles going.
Now, well, Tripod had
Tripodovich.
He's been one of the real shining lights at Brookvale, and he didn't disappoint this game. A try-scoring double to go along with 165 running metres, 2 line breaks and 7 tackle busts.
Yeah, well, the Tripodoviches are the heart and soul of that team. Without them, they are very ordinary.
Heart and soul. Tommy's doodle's got its own heart.
It's a season to forget for Manly, and it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better with news that Barrett is on his way out the door.
It's unlikely that the Doggies will win again in 2018 either, Sid, as they face the Warriors and end the season with the Sharks, and their only hope being the Dragons continuing their shocking form. Now, for Doggies fans, the inconvenient truth is there's a huge chance of earning themselves a wooden spoon in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, their worst season in God knows how long, and a difficult start to Dean Pay's coaching career.
Are they saying bring back Dez?
Well,
they'd be happy with 10th at the moment.
I feel sorry for Dean Pay. He's inherited this mess.
Career killer. The Eels hammered an insipid Dragons team 40-4 at Renovators Delight Stadium. Now, unfortunately for Dragons fans, we'd like to take this moment to pass on our condolences, as once again, your team has showed more choke than David Carradine and Michael Hutchins sharing an apartment together. Sid, I believe there's a song about this.
Look, it hurts me to sing this song, but I think we need to put it out there.
Another season's come and passed. Our winning ways just never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like the Dragons of the past, much premieres never last. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the choke again. Nothing from our stars. Crushed by our pain again. Makes us who we are. Mary's run out of tricks. We can see too many tries from kicks. Wake me up when September ends.
I believe that song is now available on iTunes, with 10% of all profits going to Mary McGregor's retirement fund.
Yep, yep.
as long as they expedited, apparently. Now, despite being bandaged up like Paleface Adios in the 1976 Miracle Mile, Jarryd Hayne turned back the clock with a performance for the ages, according to Full Credit Boys Backyard Stats Lab, Brass Knuckles Neville and his hippie brother, Grass Smoker Steve. Hayne not only scored a hat-trick of tries, he finished with 136 running metres, a line break and 5 tackle busts.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to slip the boot in anymore to an already hurting Dragons fan base. But you know when you're going bad? When you make Mitch Moses and Jarryd Hayne look like world beaters. And that's what happened in this game. Hayne has been in fantastic form the past month and scored 3 tries in this demolition of the Dragons.
Well, these 3 tries in this game actually puts him 2 tries ahead of Brett Kenny.
Do you reckon that's fair?
And into second spot on the Eels' all-time leading try scorers list.
Who's the better player? Who would you prefer to have in your team, Hayne or Brett Kenny?
Oh, that one year that Hayne went off his head, I'd like that every year.
Yeah, it's just 1 year.
But the best bit about all of that is, if you ever watch his highlights from this game, you'll remember how the strapper made him look like an absolute dickhead.
Yeah, they were calling it the hot cross bun look. He looked like an idiot, but credit where credit's due, his contract is due.
You reminded me of the gimp from Pulp Fiction. I thought he had a ball in his mouth.
But he is playing good footy. Good on him.
Tarek Sims isn't the best bloke to have on your side if he's celebrating a milestone. And this was his 150th NRL game. And he got the same result on his debut, his 50th and his 100th outing. A loss.
That's horrible.
Sunday. And the Raiders found a new way to lose by 2 points, going down to the Mighty Tigers 22 points to 20 at Geelong Cold Stadium. Now, while this game officially put a toe tag on the corpse of the Raiders' 2018 season, it showed a potential finals campaign for the Tigers still had a strong pulse and signs of life as they closed the gap to the 2 competition points to the Brisbane Broncos, who faced the Rabbitohs this week.
It was a crucial win for the Tigers. We have our destiny in our own hands, former. We love those cliches at this time of year. I've got to say, get rid of the quick tap, though. It adds nothing to our game. It gets players sent to the sin bin. And when Leilua got binned, it set the Tigers up to fly out to a big early lead. Get rid of it. I don't like it.
Well, the Tigers led by as many as 16 points in this game. And at halftime, it was 20 points to 10. Yet the Raiders refused to give up without a fight. In fact, the last points the Tigers scored was in the 44th minute, an all-important Eason Masters penalty goal that proved in the end to be the difference in the scoreline.
Yeah, we let the Raiders back in this game with a couple of tries down Zalesniak's side. He has been dropped for this week's game as we get Fanua back. And it's pretty much a full-strength side this week against the Dragons to keep our slim hopes alive. Our destiny is in our own hands.
The people's champions.
Yes.
Get behind them. Get on the bus. Ivan's on it, but it might only be a short shift. while the Raiders wouldn't have had a lot to smile about in this game, the form of Joseph Tapine would be the most pleasing part to the Canberra faithful. Now, according to Full Credit Boys Backyard Stats Lab, Sledgehammer Harry and his beautician brother, Vag Trimmer Trevor, Tapine scored a double, as well as 20 tackles, 139 running metres, 3 line breaks, and 10 tackle busts.
There's a few down there I've got to go and meet. Look, we've been saying...
Trevor's got some stories, I'll tell you.
Oh, bet. Look, we've been saying it for weeks. The Raiders haven't been good enough all year, and now they're out. And they've got the Roosters, Rabbits and Warriors to finish off the year. That's a tough finish for them. They won't win another game.
Speaking about not good enough, the Storm went down to an in-form Sharks at Rondon Couture Stadium, 17 points to 14. Now, in easily their best performance of the year, the Sharkies took the Storm into the trenches and emerged victorious. It's a loss that will likely cost Melbourne a shot at the JJ Hilfiger Shield and is their second loss in a row to teams in the top 4.
I'm glad you practiced during the week, the JJ Hilfiger Shield. That's excellent. Now, I just finished ranting.
You know his brother Tommy?
I just finished ranting about how I hate the quick tap. Gallen took one against the Storm, and the next play, Brayley barged over to score. So, can I just qualify my comments? The quick tap is cool when it's against the Storm. It's okay.
Now, while Valentine Holmes has had an up-and-down season, there are rumours he will leave the Shire to head back to Townsville very soon. Now, this, although I think that might have been squashed in the last I'm not sure. night. There might have been something signed last night. Anyway, this game showed his head is still in the game, even if his goal kicking isn't. A try, two goals, and 172 running metres, a line break, and a tackle bust.
He had a great game, but the Sharks across the park were very impressive. It's hard to go down there and get the 2 points, and the Sharkies showed they can match it with the best. After last week's upset loss to the Eagles, this was a great win from them.
Well, they move into sixth spot now, and this was their second win against the Storm this year. And they finished the season against North Queensland, Newcastle and the Bulldogs. They could leapfrog Penrith and St George and get into the top four. It's actually looking very likely.
Yeah, they keep their top four chances alive. And with that run home, you'd think they'd feel pretty confident.
NRL news we'll start with. And after days of speculation, rumour, bombshells, and let's be honest, lies, the Penrith coaching saga makes no more sense than it did last week, with more questions than answers. I'm sure most of us are sick of the story, Sid, but in case you've been living under a rock, just quickly, the Panthers sacked their coach Anthony Griffin last week. They sounded out Ivan Cleary to see if he'd be interested in the job back at the Penrith Panthers with his son Nathan. In the meantime, the Panthers appointed a caretaker coach in Cameron Daddo. A few days later, Cleary announced he wouldn't be going back, leaving speculation as to who would be coaching Penrith in 2019.
Did you see Paul Crawley interview Cleary after the game?
I try not to pay much attention to Paul Crawley, if I'm honest.
Well, he said...
He's one of the great oxygen thieves in the Telegraph.
And he outdid himself this week. He said to Cleary, what's the go with all these rumours? He's like, mate, I told you, I'm not addressing them. We're here to talk about the game of footy. So then he tried again, and apparently Ivan gave him a spray as he left the press conference. There's no footage of that. But then Crawley backed it up the following night on TV and gave Ivan a spray.
Did he?
Hmm.
That's usually his go, wait till someone's not in the room. And he's had a shot at Warren Smith the same
way. Yeah, blocked Warren Smith.
Yeah, then had a crack at him.
Yeah. Weak.
Weak as piss.
Always welcome on the show, Paul.
No, I wouldn't think so. You can come and sweep the studio out one afternoon
if
you're interested.
It needs a sweep.
A frustrated Trent Barrett has threatened to walk away from Manly over a lack of support and resources. In fact, there's a strong rumour that Barrett handed in his resignation in July and is just serving out the season, with Manly hoping he'll change his mind before the end of the year.
Yeah, has it been confirmed that he's going to walk away? There was a lot of talk yesterday about it.
It's very strong. I think he's gone.
And Gus has said if one more person says Barrett to the Panthers, he's going to scream, then he sacks his coach and
start
Barrett's
screaming.
Out the door.
Reports are emerging that Wanye, the big Wheezy Bennett, not only won't be at the Broncos after the end of the current contract, he won't even be there in 2019 either, with some rumours really starting to get a rumble that he'll return to the Wollongong area.
Yes. Cockwash Stadium.
Phil Gould has been signed to be general manager at the Panthers for another 5 years, Sid.
Well, this is where I think I alluded to it last week. Channel 9 versus Fox, the Herald versus the Telegraph. The day that Ivan Cleary came out and said he will be staying, one paper reported that. The other paper didn't report it at all, just saying that Phil Gould has signed for another 5 years.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Billy Slater, Chris Heinington and Jason Nightingale all announced their retirements this week.
Yeah, there's like 4 billion games worth of experience retiring at the end of the year. It's ridiculous.
Meanwhile, the return to the NRL of Ben Barber is imminent as he was released by Super League club St Helens.
He's been braining it over there. I'm not sure which club would want him, but...
Bulldogs, apparently.
Yeah.
A huge chance. I don't know how they're going to fit them because I thought their salary cap was busted. But
they've released a lot of big names. Clay Priest comes to mind.
But he's always got his country music career to fall back
exactly.
on. Very lucky in that way. North Queensland legend Jonathan Thurston has signed to stay at the club until 2021, agreeing to nurture the club's next generation halves long after his retirement at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think this was a no-brainer.
I think also it's how you actually get around salary caps these days.
I think so.
Promised jobs for a couple of years.
Very much so.
Penrith's top four hopes have been dealt a major blow, with playmaker James Maloney sidelined until at least the NRL's finals with a knee injury. The Panthers confirmed the New South Wales 5'8" had suffered a grade 2 medial ligament tear during Saturday's get-out-of-jail win against the Gold Coast.
You know what I like about the Panthers?
Not much.
They're straight up with the media and they don't bullshit. They came out and said Maloney was going to have a rest next week anyway.
Was he?
Yeah.
Gareth Widdop dislocated his shoulder against Parramatta Eels and is under A close watch as to when he will return.
Yeah, they're going to be in big trouble at Leichhardt on the weekend without Gareth Widdop.
Yeah, they're in big trouble.
Wake me up when September ends.
Finally, and I'll touch on this a little bit later on, but the Channel 9 Footy Show has apologised to former NRL forward Dave the Quilt Taylor for an attempt at humour that went horribly wrong on the Sunday Footy Show. The segment was meant to show a gutsy play from Dave Taylor, but instead it appeared to just make fun of his guts.
Well, that's not funny, making fat jokes about Dave Taylor.
We'll get back on that later. Johnson, the stepper!
For the heavyweight championship of the world!
This is a famous victory.
It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL and the Swans put in a tough performance to beat the hot and cold Melbourne team by a handful of points. Meanwhile, the GWS Capitals Giants scored a gritty win against the once high-flying Adelaide Crows in Canberra.
Yeah, it was a...
their spiritual home.
Yeah, I've got more to say about that. It was a gutsy win from the Swannies that put them in sixth position, equal fourth on 52 points. But the elephant in the room is the crowd that the Caps Lock Giants got this week. This is a club that now sits comfortably in the top four, but cannot get a crowd out Blacktown way. This week, they had 13,500 at a home game, which is, I think, their second best crowd of the year. And where was it? In Canberra.
Manuka.
Their highest home crowd at Homebush this year is 14,000 odd. And they had a crowd that was officially posted as low as 7,000, but they looked like there was about 40 blokes there, including trainers. That was against the Suns. So maybe instead of trying to crack the Western Sydney market, the Caps Lock Giants should be lurking further south in their endeavours to bring AFL to New South Wales.
Swimming. The USA 4x100-metre men's freestyle team of Caleb Dressel, Blake Peroni, Zach Apple.
That's Zach right. Apple.
That's right. And Nathan Adrian. Jeez, he missed out. Blitzed the field in the world titles in Tokyo, but were disqualified after swimming out of order. Now, according to swimmingnews.com, one of my favourite websites, coaches told the Americans the wrong order in which they were racing. America's disqualification paved the way for Brazil to take gold. Australian team consisting of Jack Cartwright, Alexander Graham, James Roberts, that's right, yeah, and Kyle Chambers are promoted to silver medal position. And Japan, who initially finished out of the medals, won bronze.
Wow, that James Roberts, he's just an all-round sportsman, isn't he?
He's got some speed.
He's good.
Cricket. England cricket player Ben Stokes has been found not guilty for his role in a street fight. Now, Stokes was on trial for knocking out two men in the southwest English city of Bristol last September. Stokes said he was acting in self-defence. As the verdicts were delivered at Bristol Crown Court on Tuesday, Stokes closed his eyes and then looked up. The all-rounder has been cleared to resume his cricketing duties by the ECB and will rejoin his England teammates ahead of their third test against India.
He's already lost out big time in this situation, even though
he's a redhead.
Been found not guilty. The ginger nut.
Golf. Brooks Koepka won the US PGA on Sunday, but it was the bloke who ran second, Tiger Woods, who seems to have his mojo back. Well, you know what that means, don't you? He's on the nest. Who everyone was talking about and cheering on. In fact, probably one of the tweets of the year came from Kyle Porter at CBS, who said, Tiger Woods has won the 2018 PGA Championships with a score of 14 under. Brooks Koepka runs second with 16 under.
And, of course, Australia's Adam Scott bungled his way in the last for a bogey to finish third. Still a good finish.
Tennis. And Nick Kyrgios had a game last night. I'm not sure who it was against or where it was at.
Yep.
But didn't bring his shoes to court.
Are you serious?
100%. Looking, he got to his chair in his sock for some reason, then looked down and went through his bag and couldn't find his shoes, so they had to go and send a ball kid to go and find his shoes back in the locker room.
Did he forfeit or just ran a bit late?
Lost the first set and then won the next two.
Because he didn't have shoes on in the first set? Or
he played in a pair of Havaianas, which is always a risk. And finally,
he's
golf.
Got his shoes.
As we covered off last week, golfer Jared Lyle has succumbed to his battle with cancer and passed away on last Wednesday.
FCTTB.
Two dickheads. One podcast. One epic day out. Full Credit to the Boys live show. Members only. Get in fast. Become a member today. Go to www.fullcreditpodcast.com. $69.95 free postage.
Permit number 81680-8135. Written and authorized by Sid Punt. Spoken by former legend and Sid Punt.
Yes, you're getting close to your last chance to become a member and also to be present at the end of season drinks.
Yes.
Have we put a date down?
29th of September. 11 a.m.
Undisclosed venue at this stage, I believe, but it's two stops from Central.
Yeah, about there. A few stops. I haven't counted it.
And our first confirmed guest.
Yes, confirmed just now. That's fantastic.
Yeah, another one. Well, the invite's out.
Yes. So keep the 29th of September free. Go and buy a membership pack. All the members will be receiving an email very shortly about ticketing details.
But enough of that. It's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, that's right. Make a change. And don't forget, you can put your nominations in for Grab a Mirrors on Tuesdays and Tuesdays only with the hashtag Grab a Mirror or hashtag GAM. Sid.
Yes.
I want to go.
Go.
Grab a Mirror. Anyone who was outraged at the footy show for having some jokes at Dave Taylor's Fat Guts.
Yeah, fair enough.
For anyone that doesn't know, Channel 9's footy show did a segment called Gutsy Player of the Week where Aaron Mullen, Freddie Fittler and Peter Sterling made fun of the former NRL's star's weight. Star's a stretch. Where does this outrage come from, Sid?
I know.
People must sit there and think, right, what can I go off about next?
Absolutely they do.
Anyone who's seen pics of Taylor can see he is as fat as a fool.
He is.
And good on him. No dramas. He's getting a wage up there in North Queensland playing footy and clearly loving life and the cheesecakes. But if people think that a few cracks at a bloke who looks like he swallowed his doona is the worst thing in the world, then they have no fucking clue about some of the shit getting said on footy fields or in a pub or at bloke's works.
Or in this studio.
And then we had all these morally outraged do-gooders saying, but imagine if things were reversed and everyone was body-shaming Aaron Mullen. Now, maybe I come from a different time, but that is different. And you know why? Because you don't do that to women, mate.
But you know why else it's different?
Tell me.
Because it didn't happen.
Well, there's another
Why
problem.
Are people getting outraged? What if it was? What if this? What if that? That's not what happened.
Well, where I'm from, Dave Taylor would be fair game. A bloke who spent too much time enjoying schooners and beer nuts, I mean, absolutely fair game. I'm starting to think this is just another opportunity by the eternally outraged to have a crack at Aaron Mullen and Channel 9. I mean, after all, how many of those people expressing their sorrow for poor David? I'm upset, and that upset me. How many of those people were expressing their sorrow for poor Dave, the beanbag Taylor, when he got sacked from Toronto?
Yep.
They would have been the same people having a crack at him and the alleged story's going around then.
He got sacked for eating all the pies.
And how many of those outraged defenders of poor old beanbag are also guilty of having cracks at Buzz Rothfield's red cheeks or Gus Gould's face like an unmade bed or Cherry Evans' giraffe neck?
Yep, this is a good point.
I mean, this bloke's carried a few kilos, a bit of extra timber. He's got a roof over the veranda. So just calm down. It's not the greatest crime of the century. And if you're upset, it's okay. You can be upset. But you don't have to start tweeting the world about it.
Yep.
And finally, in all of this, go and grab a mirror, Aaron Mullen. Refer to Rule 9 of former legends' life rules. Never, ever apologise.
Equal 10.
At Milram361 says, grab a mirror at Pringles AU. Meat pie flavoured Pringles. Might as well call them spew flavour. What's next? Vegetarian with chickpea? Hummus lentils with goat's milk and turmeric?
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Oh, I like a bit of that. Hashtag what lunatic buys these? Hashtag oh me.
I totally agree. I'm offended.
I'm offended.
I'm offended. I'm more offended.
Not as offended as I am.
But what if you were more offended?
What if Pringles get upset at that tweet and they shut down and everyone loses their job? Well, what then?
Yeah, wouldn't you feel bad then? Yeah. What if that happened?
Good one, Milram, you idiot.
Equal 10.
This is a shot at Wayne Bennett. I hope he doesn't get offended.
Let's hope not.
Hashtag grab a mirror. Wayne Bennett says at MP6868.
It's already sounding nasty.
He put in a quote from a news article. It says, speaking to the media on Tuesday, Bennett confirmed his players left the club function but insisted it was not planned and it was not his idea. Bennett said he told White that he would not attend the barbecue and began receiving texts from players on Friday afternoon telling Bennett they were coming over to his place to have a barbecue. Hashtag grab a mirror Wayne Bennett for having the team over at his house for a barbecue and not owning a barbecue.
Equal 10.
At footy_and_beer. Well, you just won the internet, Max Wolf. Hashtag grab a mirror celebrity voice changer ads on Twitter. If I wanted to sound like any celeb, I'd be drinking vodka by the liter, doing copious lines of stats and screaming at people daily, all just to sound like the great Jimmy Barnes or Buzz Rothfield. Until this can happen, fuck off from my timeline. Hashtag Barnsy.
Good point.
Equal
10.
At Cricket Flog says, grab a mirror. The woman working at a regional New South Wales shop complaining about some minor issue as a third world problem. And her workmate replying, I think you mean first world problem. And we laughed and she laughed and we all laughed at her, especially at her confusing mong head. Hashtag easy mistake. Hashtag if you're a dumb fuck.
Equal 10.
At Efficient Not Lazy says, grab a mirror. The chick at Aldi who decided the best time to transfer money between accounts on her phone was after all her groceries had been scanned. You dopey fucker had to wait in line to do this, or heaven forbid, even before you came here. You're the worst kind of oxygen thief. Hashtag not an Aldi special. I hope she doesn't hear this because she'll be offended.
She could be offended.
And you know what happens when people get offended?
Yeah.
They get offended.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's okay to be offended.
Equal 10.
What about those 40 people that died overnight from being offended?
Yeah,
I never heard of that either.
That's bad news, yeah. Hashtag, like you got chronic offence. Hashtag at sharks_tragic. Grab a mirror, full credit the boys podcast. Grab a mirror, former legend.
Hey?
Grab a mirror, Sid Punts.
Oh, I'm triggered.
You've upset me and I'm offended. For delaying the podcast until Wednesday. I'm heading off to the Outback tomorrow morning and won't have coverage until Friday morning. Hashtag going to miss your tips. Hashtag I tip like shit and need the help.
Jeez, you must be going horrible.
Hashtag who's your tip for Thursday? Now, for all those people that are listening right now, knowing that Sharks Tragic isn't going to get any coverage, including Twitter, for the next 2 days, feel free to tweet his account with dick pics, pics of all sorts of
Read out his Twitter handle again.
At sharks_tragic. The more notifications, the better.
Yep.
Equal 10.
At more Josh. Says, grab a mirror of the plastic bag ban. How do I dispose of my pube trimmings now? Hashtag bonsai tree. Hashtag curly grates. Hashtag clogged shower drain.
Oh, that escalated quickly.
9.
At McFlavor7 says, grab a mirror of the Cheesecake Shop in Rockhampton. You missed the gravy train. What a sponsorship deal that would have been. Hashtag Manshake Cheesecake.
We offered it to him, didn't we? It was a great idea.
We give him a heads up.
8.
At 8888S account.
And he came 8th.
Jesus.
Whoa.
He was spewing.
Freaking out, man.
He was spewing because he tried to get 888887S account but couldn't get it.
Taken.
Hashtag grab a mirror sooks complaining about fat shaming Dave Taylor. It is funny. Deal with it.
Hell yeah.
Hashtag grab a mirror Dave Taylor for playing first grade 5'8 at 150 kilos. You impressive machine.
Exactly.
7.
Seriously, we've got to lighten up, don't we?
I think so.
Hashtag grab a mirror, says Mick Harding 2812, to the really low hanging piece of fruit in the food court today with his colostomy bag hanging down his leg.
Oh, wow.
Hashtag no one wants to see your piss pillow. Hashtag feeling like a bag of goon. Hashtag goon of fortune. Hashtag warm apple juice.
Yeah, how about we move on?
6.
Swiftly.
At Muggo 8 says, grab a mirror of the NRL. Put the NRL in it.
Good.
And the NRL match committee. How the fuck does Cameron Smith, I hope I've spelled that correctly, bring a bloke down with a armbar and nothing happen? What does that Michael Clark have to do to get a to get a week? Choke some poor prick out. Hashtag UFC. Hashtag koala.
5.
How can he win the Dally M if he gets a week? You're not a smart man, Muggo. at One-Eyed Tiger says, hashtag grab a mirror. At Telly Paul Crawley.
Yeah.
For beating a field of regular heavyweights such as Buzz and Gus to win the most childish NRL media personality award this week. Absolutely blitzed it with an outstanding and embarrassing Olympic-grade dummy spit. Hashtag sook. Hashtag fiction writer. Hashtag dickhat. And I'd imagine now, hashtag blocked.
Yay. You don't have to do much to get blocked by him, but it was a pathetic spray, and he got called out on it. It's good.
4.
At Lone Stealer. Hashtag grab a mirror, me, for quietly thinking that the Dragons might actually go deep into September. And Cricket Australia, hashtag grab a mirror, because now I have nothing to look forward to in summer. Hashtag bring on 2019.
We'll wake you up when September ends. Have a listen at the end of the show for that full song. There's a few extra verses in there for you. Can I have a go? Can I have a go?
Yeah, go, go, go. You're not going to offend anyone, are you?
Probably. Any fish fans out there? Grab a mirror. The man who posted step-by-step updates as he pleasured himself with the stomach of an anglerfish in a series of posts on 2Channel. Do you know what that is, Former? Do you get on there regularly?
No.
The Japanese man, Mi Wang King, told users that he works with anglerfish on a regular basis and decided to have a wank with the fish's stomach out of curiosity. He described how he had taken precautions, carefully disinfecting the raw fish organ using salt.
Good, that's experience.
Yeah, clever, clever. He's done this before. He's using salt and ethanol before rubbing it against his penis. The detailed statuses ended with a photo of him wearing the stomach on his hand as though it were a glove. Accompanying the image was a short caption saying, I'm taking my pants off now. Wow. However, all did not go according to plan, as he later revealed in a follow-up that he had to check himself in a hospital after coming down with pain in his penis.
No,
he was
joking.
He was rushed to Wee Ping Penis Hospital, doctors diagnosed the man with urethritis, an inflammation of the urethra, where they think it was picked up by putting your dick in a fish, and they put him on a course of antibiotics. The man said he also has to keep applying ointment to his penis in order to soothe the stinging sensation when he urinates.
In the first place.
Despite this less than positive experience, the man got on 2Channel and said he was keen to try masturbating with a dead squid. So grab a mirror, Mi Wang King, you magnificent bastard. Don't let one little setback steer you off this course.
I'll tell you what I won't be doing. Heading down the fish markets with old Mi Wang King. No, thanks.
No. No, thanks. I'm good.
3.
At McFlavor7 says, grab a mirror, Dave Taylor, who heard something about a gravy train and is currently running the tracks halfway to Gladstone.
2.
Grab a mirror, says the Saint 842. Dragons fans and myself, does anyone know a good tattoo removal business? I need to remove my 2018 Premier's tattoo and part of my soul as well. Hashtag fade. Hashtag June Premiers. Hashtag Widdop's shit hair.
You just went off too early, didn't you? Getting that tat?
1.
At BeerBoy182. Is that a big week? Grab a mirror of the class of 2008 reunion who left behind at least 3 lines of stats on the chrome toilet roll holders of an unnamed Bondi pub. That's the one he works at. Any desperate in the 2003 reunion doing a poo could easily finish them off. Hashtag your math teachers would be disgusted in your misuse of statistics.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
All right, it's time for this. Round 23 preview. Sydney begins on Thursday night. Tomorrow night, The Broncos take on the Rabbitohs in Stinder Stadium in the Ashley Harrison Shield. $2.35 the Bronx, $1.60 the Rabbits.
Yeah, go the Rabbits.
Yeah, solid.
I want Broncos to miss out on the eight.
Friday night, the Seagulls take on the Titans at Legoland in the Brenton Lawrence Bowl. $1.45 the Seagulls, $2.75 the Titans.
You have no idea how excited I am for this game.
This is going to be a big game.
Wow.
What do you think the crowd will be?
At least 450.
And how many of those people thought they'll go into something else when they walked in there? Oh, it's a footy.
Oh, I thought this was a Pink concert.
The Brown concert.
Sea Eagles, I guess.
Yeah, you'd think so, surely. Storm.
To farewell their coach.
Storm take on the Eels at Ronan Katoot Park in the Alex Chan Shield. $1.22 the Storm, $4.35 the Eels with a white-hot Jared Hayne in form.
Oh, and he's just about to re-sign with the Eels, apparently, yes. If that mail's correct. Geez, this is going to be a tight one. I think Storm by 24.
It won't be tight at kickoff. They will blow them out of the water, the Storm.
Yes, they will.
Saturday, the Panthers take on the Knights at Centrelink Stadium in the Glenn Miller Medal. $1.30, the Panthers. $3.57, the Knights.
I'm going for an upset here. I think the Knights can do them. Panthers are without Maloney. He was going to rest anyway, but he's out with an injury. Go the Knights in a tight one.
Yeah, I don't think... I think the Panthers will still account for the Knights under their new coach, Cameron Datto.
Yes.
They will fire on all cylinders, if not Lockie Datto and Andrew Datto will be over there to coach them as well.
Well, they're on the field. They're the runners out there, apparently. You get one Datto, you get all the Dattos.
Tigers.
Well, who's that shit Datto that doesn't get much work? Isn't there
Lockie.
A fourth one? Yeah.
Tigers take on the Dragons at the eighth wonder of the world in the Corey Pearson Plate. $1.76, the Tigers. $2.08, the Dragons.
I hate it when we're favourites. This is...
Dragons are missing Vaughan, Widdup and Nightingale.
And you know who we're missing? Zalesniak, because he got dropped because he can't tackle. This is our best team, apart from Grubb not being there. I think we'll beat the Dragons, and I am filthy that I won't be able to attend this game.
Can you believe... We got invited to that.
We certainly did.
An hour ago.
Yep.
Can you believe that the Dragons are $2.08 outsiders in this? Only 5 weeks ago, they were running second.
Well, this is the first time in the season that they haven't been in the top four, I believe. Geez, they know when to peak.
I think it's a brave move from Mary to get them to taper off just before the semis.
Yeah.
Because they've tapered right off. And the Tigers will win this, but only just. The Sharks take on the Cowboys at Southern Cross Bogentat Stadium in the Jeff Bell Bowl. $1.39 the Sharkies, $3.05 the JT-led and inspired Cowboys.
I was impressed by the Sharks against Melbourne this week. I don't know how much that will suck out of them. They should be too good for the Cowboys at home.
Yeah, I think they'll win that pretty easy. Sunday, the Bulldogs take on the Warriors at Renovators Delight Stadium in the Gavin Hill Trophy. $2.45 the Dogs, $1.55 the Warriors.
This is a danger game for the Warriors.
I don't think so.
I'm trying to talk it up. I reckon the Warriors will get home in Golden Point field goal.
Bulldogs are no chance. The Raiders take on the Roosters at Germ Cold Stadium in the Terry Fay Trophy. $2.85 the Raids, $1.43 the Roosters.
Well, I think I've said this before, but I hope the Raiders get out to a 20-point lead and then lose by two. The Roosters will beat them.
If the Roosters are smart, they'll ask Todd Greenberg, can the Raiders start 20-0 at front before kickoff?
Full credit to the boys.
Shipperdick.com.au. Dick Hat of the Week time, Sid.
What do you got for us?
Well, my Dick Hat of the Week, I've got two actually.
Hit me.
Because I haven't got an under the pump, I'll be honest. I'm lifting the curtain on this show. Jesse, the multilingual macaw parrot, Sid.
Yeah.
Jesse's owner had asked for help after the macaw spent 3 days on a neighbour's roof in Edmonton in England. The RSPCA called in the London Fire Brigade to rescue the bird. Now, crew manager Chris Swallow. Swallow.
Come on.
The gurgler, the deep throat, the spitter.
Oh, you could have gone with bird jokes rather than being so crude.
The BJ King.
Whatever.
Chris Swallow climbed up a ladder to save Jesse. Swallow told Jesse, after his owner suggested this might work, Swallow told Jesse, "I love you." which is what you want to hear from someone who swallows, in a way to bond with the parrot. While Jesse responded, "I love you back," Chris Swallow then discovered that Jesse had a bit of a foul mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I tried to tell her to come." Again, exactly what you want to hear with someone named Swallow. It was then that Jesse told me to, and I don't want to misquote Mr. Swallow, the gurgle of the deep throat, the spit of the BJ King here, but Sid, I don't want to misquote him, but Jesse told Mr. Swallow to fuck off. Thankfully, it soon became apparent that Jesse was fine.
Apparent.
That Jesse was fine and uninjured as she flew off onto another roof, then into a tree.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It's a bird. It'll come down when it wants to. How to get up there? It didn't climb the ladder.
Send a cat up.
That's stupid. That's a stupid story.
Here's your dick out of the week.
Well, I've got...
Thanks to shipperdick.com.au.
Yes, thank you. Proud sponsors of the show, shipperdick.com.au. I've got about 347 dickats this week. Some genius has set up a campaign that's doing the rounds on Facebook calling for Nirvana to reform.
Great idea. How many was in the
band? A reunion show.
How many's in the band?
There were three. There's only two now.
Oh, okay.
So they're saying they should reform with Nickelback frontman Trad Kroger up the front. Wow. I think this would be good for Dave Grohl's career.
What I've always wanted to hear is Nirvana belt out, "I like your pants around your feet. Unlike the dirt that's on your knees."
I should really get you to do some more jingles. What a singing voice you have.
That's so, very Chad Kroger-ish, you got to admit.
So some dickhat has set up a Facebook page stating that the gig is going to happen on January 1, 2019. I'm not sure Dave Grohl's manager is aware of this.
But Grohl needs the money.
at the time of posting this, Chris Novoselic probably does. He just walked into the sunset. He didn't care. 374 people have said they'll attend, while 1,400 are thinking about it. Could be cool.
374 dickhats.
I can't believe whoever created this. You are an absolute flog. Let's move on.
My dickhat number two.
Yeah.
Wayne Lomax.
Who's Wayne Lomax?
He's a plasterer. He decided that it might be romantic to get his wedding's date tattooed on his finger instead of wearing a ring, as he was worried he might lose jewelry while at work.
Classy.
It wasn't until his wife, Natalie, was telling pals at a party about his romantic gesture 6 weeks later that the red-faced couple realised he gave the tattoo artist the wrong date, swapping August for July.
That's awkward.
Tipping that's the last time he banged the ex. So the incorrect wedding date just added to Wayne's collection of weird and sad tattoos after getting his own name tattooed on his arm at 16. If you've got your name tattooed on your body anywhere, except for Sonny Bill Williams, you're a flog.
I got married on the 5th of August, 08. I was going to get that because if you put it upside down, it says boobs. I might do that.
All right, it's time for this.
The sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Boy sack mail and feedback time. Don't forget you can contact us on Twitter. Feel free to ask us anything.
Yeah, anything at all. We probably won't say it. Probably won't answer. But ask away. I won't be offended.
Ask. I will. I'll be very upset. Never admit you read wrong.
Never.
Aaron Mullen. Very foolish. I woke up in the middle of the night, Saturday night.
Yeah?
And I thought, I've got a feeling. West Wales Raiders are winning.
Well, that's spooky. You should buy a lottery ticket. Let me play this jingle.
I just did.
West Wales Raiders, we rule the rugby league world.
This was a highly anticipated showdown. The West Wales Raiders versus the York City Yorkers. We thought we could get away with this. York City are coming second, smashing it. 19 wins from their 21 games. West Wales Raiders, unlucky. 130-0. We lost. 130-0. Now, last time we played the York City Yorkers, we went down, where is it?
144-0.
So, you could say that's an improvement.
Improvement. We're on the way.
274-0 in their two encounters. So, unsurprisingly, that is our 21st loss of the season, and it didn't help our for and against. I know people are keeping tabs at home. We are now minus 1,552, and God knows how many more games are left in this season. It just keeps going on and on and on.
The season of horror.
Who's our next opponent?
Coventry Bears.
The Coventry Bears. They're sitting in 11th spot out of 14. We're coming 14th. I'm not sure if anyone realised that.
We're a team on the improve.
So we're a good chance against the Bears. Last time we played them, we went down 64-6. But this is at home, and I'm feeling confident. Let's see how we go.
West Wales Waiters, we rule the rugby league world.
Sid, our YouTube clip of the week is an absolute pearl of this week.
Oh, isn't it?
Now, what is it again?
I've got no idea. Oh, yeah, I remember. It's Rap Stars Read Mean Tweets.
Yeah, it's actually very good. It's only from about 3 days ago.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, so we might put that on our podcast Twitter.
Somewhere.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out somewhere. Sid.
Yes.
Anything else before we wrap it up?
I don't think so.
What about a bit of a bedtime story?
All right, let's do that.
Okay. What do we call this? We'll call this the sacked coach version.
Okay.
Until next week, it's good night from both of us.
Yes, it's good night from both of us. Make sure you keep the 29th of September free, all you members.
Yes.
For our live show. We'll be in touch soon.
Watch for your inbox. Some vital information coming your way. Also watch Fox Sports Super Saturday as to a hint as to one of our...
Ah, clever.
Yeah.
I like that.
As to one of our guests on the day.
So we'll do a story time and then stick around for my St. George song, all you St. George fans.
It gets better.
So until next week, see ya. Gather round, everyone. It's time for Former Legends. Story
time! This story comes from People Magazine, July 23, August 6, 2018, and it's titled Backdoor Business. Good start. I'd always fantasized about munching on my girls.
Jeff Toovey.
I finally plucked up the courage to ask Evie while we showered. She agreed before I finished asking. Still wet from the shower, she jumped on the bed, got on all fours, arched her back while waving her
Jason Taylor
in my face. I began rubbing Evie's groin and lapping her
Mick Potter
before working my way up to her
Wayne Bennett.
I'd always wondered if there was a proper way to tongue.
You're just reading the story as it stands. Told you this one was no good.
I'd always wondered if there was a proper way to...
Come on, get it together.
I'd always wondered if there was a proper way to... I'd always wondered if there was a proper way. Shut up. Shut up, mate.
Shut up.
I'd always wondered if there was a proper way to tongue punch a... I'd always wondered if there was a proper way to tongue punch a fart hole. So I...
Yeah.
I'd always wonder if there was a proper way to tongue punch a fart hole, so I made sure to try it in every which way possible. I licked, spat, tickled, slobbered and sucked like a crazed Rottweiler with a new chew toy. I worked Eve's...
Ricky Stewart.
with one hand and slapped her butt cheeks with the other. She was going crazy. My pud got a happy angry, so we 69 as I wanted to keep licking on her.
Terry Lamb.
While she noshed my veiny beast like a porn star. Eventually it got too much for me, so I flipped her over and gave her the rogering of a lifetime. I tickled her.
Alan Jones.
With my middle finger. And she couldn't take it anymore. Evie was breathing like she needed an iron lung before having a long ear-splitting climax. The end.
And that was Former Legends
Story Time.
Another season's come and passed. Our winning ways just never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like the dragons of the past, much premieres never last. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes that choke again. Nothing from our stars. Crushed by our pain again. Makes us who we are. Mary's run out of tricks. We can see too many tri-strum kicks. Wake me up when September ends. George Premier's tack. Wake me up when September ends. I might as well just go for souse. Nothing changes, let's oust. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the choke again. Nothing from our stars. Numb by our pain again. Makes us who we are. Bring back Wayne Bennett again. Just like we did in 2010. Wake me up when September ends. From our past, 2010 has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. Mary's run out of tricks. We can see too many tries from kicks. Wake me up when September ends. Wake me up when September ends. Wake me up when September ends.